Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in arts, literature, and entertainment. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a packed house. We have some of the best and brightest in comic, comedian extraordinaire. Remo will be in the house. Authors, entrepreneurs, Jay Henderson, Mario D. King will be in the house. And, of course, I cannot leave out my phenomenal soror, Angela Ray, who you've probably seen in Tyler Perry movies, television. She's done a lot of plays, and we are excited about what we will be bringing to the table this evening. So hold on tight. Make sure you have your listening ears on, and if you want to help support these artists that I have on the show tonight, be sure to listen of how you can share their information, click on their books, attend their events, or appear at one of their latest comic book takings. So first and foremost, we have with us tonight Mario D. King and Jay Henderson. How are the dynamic duo doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Definitely thank you for having Jay and I. It's a terrific Tuesday, so it's a good start for the week for me.
All right here. Terrific Tuesday. Jay, are you in the house? Hello, Jay, are you in the house? Well, Mario, you made the whole damn fort for a little while by yourself. So,
Okay.
Tell us how you came to be this phenomenal author with this series that is gathering buzz on the internet.
Yeah, so before I met Jay, just to give you my quick backstory, I fell in love with writing. I guess it was started at a young age. I've always been into the arts. It started off with, you know, comic strips on the Sunday paper. You know, I was enamored by that at first, just the illustration of the drawing aspect of it. And then I kind of fell in love with the wordplay as well. So it wasn't until I was probably a teenager when the movie Love Jones came out. Where I started dabbling into poetry.
One of my favorites.
yeah, that's top five for me as well. So I thought I was a mini Darius Love Hall at the time. So, you know, so I got into poetry for a little bit. And it wasn't until my college experience where I wanted to explore or fell in love with the art of storytelling. It was a young lady I was dating at the time, and it was the summertime. I didn't go home for the summer, and I didn't have any television. So she left a book on my desk. It was The Coldest Winter Ever by Sister Soldier. It's a classic. So I wasn't a reader at that time of novels per se. So when I read it, I started it. You know, I finished it in about probably less than 24 hours. And I said, you know, this is something that I would like to do, because at the time, one of my goals was to be a writer for, you know, Source Magazine. At the time, that's when it was probably at the pinnacle of hip-hop publication. So once I read the book, I said, listen, this is something I definitely believe I can do. I've always been a creator, as I mentioned. And it kind of just snowballed from there. Took a creative writing class, and it was just something that was on my bucket list to produce, you know, a book. And it wasn't until maybe 2008 when I finally took it serious and started, you know, producing some work. And that's how I met Jay through one of my first releases that I released back in 2010, which was The Crisis Before Midlife.
Okay. Now, what those two, well, Love Jones, and then you mentioned also Coldest Winter. Which are legendary. They're classics. They're classics in cinema, and they're also classics when you talk about literature. How do you feel your writing was influenced by either of those two projects?
Oh, I think it was probably tremendously, probably harking back more so on Love Jones, because the dialogue within that movie was an art within itself. The way the wordplay was, you know, especially from a male-female perspective when you're talking about relationships, it was just mellow. Like, it followed the mood of the music, and I kind of mimicked that through my writing, in a sense, to try to keep some kind of vibe and flow going with it to make sure that not the reader not only is conveying the message, but they can be entertained and have some kind of rhythm with it as well. So I write with like a jazz beat, if you will.
Okay, and I like that. And you know what is, you know, cadence is very important. People think of cadence, mm-hmm. you know, when they think of cadence, they also think of poetry and they think of music. But cadence is very important when you talk about writing, because it does denote that author's style, especially in their particular book or their particular genre. Now, Jay is trying to get mm-hmm. on, and she said she was talking, but we can't hear her. Jay, are you on now?
I'm here.
Hello,
can you hear me
Jay?
Now?
Oh, that's you.
Yes. There you are.
I was like, what in the world?
Yeah, I saw your number popping on. It was kind of like hip hop. I call it hopscotch. It is too. Jump in, jump out. Jump in, jump out. So, well, actually, that's the same
well,
question. What ushered in your love for writing, and what particular book or project perhaps influenced you as an author?
I was always a reader. I actually found about a year or so ago a book that I wrote when I was like 7.
Wow.
Yeah, I drew all the pictures and everything. A bestseller. So my love of reading was ushered in by my mother, because she was adamant. She was one of those parents that was always telling you to go get a book, read something. So in reading, I started writing. And for me, as far as how my first book came along, that was venting. I was venting about being a young single woman and the things I was going through in the dating world. And some kind of way my venting ended up as a novel.
And I must say, you did a great job venting. You did a great job venting.
Thank you.
And I think that if you will, can you share with my listeners the title of that book if they not had the opportunity to read that book?
My first book is entitled Someday, in the series, it's a 3-book series. It's Someday, Someday 2, and Forever in a Day.
And you know what? I think that book is very powerful, and I think that it's also a must-read for various reasons. For one, you're not alone in that struggle. Two, I think that a lot of people would enjoy that viewpoint, depending on where you are in your life and how you are in that cycle of dating. We know that a lot of people have entered into celibacy. A lot of people have various relationships with the higher power. And so there are a lot of things that they're willing, that they perhaps accepted in their youth or in their 20s or teens or maybe in your early 30s that they're no longer willing to accept now. And I think that's often when I'm talking with a group of women, there are various women who feel like they're alone in their journey unless they talk to other women. So I think that book is very powerful for all of those reasons. And also it's kind of funny, you know, that there's some funny parts. It's a very complex book that gives you a variety of feelings, emotion, and experiences. So I will say that if you have not had the opportunity to purchase that book or series, I think you should do so, and you will be very pleasantly surprised about what you find. Now, let's get back to what you and Mario have created. And, you know, I always find it interesting when two people can come up with a concept that is pretty much one project, even though there may be various voices speaking, it's almost like this one tone. And I'm always intrigued, you really don't find it often when you have a male and female collaborating together. So when you set out to produce this project, what voices did you want to take and have it ushered out into the publishing world. Either one of you can take the lead in that.
I think terms of voices, we wanted to examine the Black family structure, but we wanted to look at it from a different perspective. We wanted to look at it from the perspective of people who are friends with benefits that end up having
friends
a child.
With benefits.
And what that looks like, as they struggle, as they decide, are they going to try to be a couple for the sake of the child? Are they just going to try to develop a friendship and become co-parents? Can they even become friends since this was not part of the plan? So we wanted to look at that dynamic.
Okay. Yeah, and I want to piggyback off that.
As a male, how do you feel your perspective perhaps added or enhanced the book? Because we read a lot of books from the female perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll piggyback off what Jay said. So ditto everything she said. So for me, when I write, I always like to tap into the complexities of life. And to your point, most of the novels per se is written from a female perspective, so I definitely wanted to address some of the certain scenarios. So it was great for me because, like, for instance, the way the cadence of being rhythm that me and Jay had with the book, she may write a chapter, you know, again, from that woman's point of view, and then I put my male perspective on it, and we didn't agree all the time, but that's what made it a beautiful balance because I can explain, okay, as a male, this is how I feel this character would respond to the situation. So the goal was just to make sure that we created something that was authentic through and through that somebody can relate to no matter what gender you were from.
Yeah, and I think it's also important because often, you know, as I stated earlier, we're so used to, as readers primarily, especially African-American readers, when we look at African-American literature, we often view the writing through that female lens. And I think that this project is so important because you mentioned the authenticity, and sometimes you and Jay perhaps didn't agree. And I think because we do look at things differently. And I think it's very unique and it's very important that this collaboration took place just for those reasons, because it does mirror a lot about what you see or what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
That goes along with these friends with benefit relationships. And if we're being honest, as an educator, I probably see more of that parenting style than someone who fell in love, got married, got divorced, or just fell in love, got married, or just was in love. It was like, this was just something that just occurred or just happened. But in their process, they also birthed a child. So it's not something that's unique, but it's something that we don't often tackle in certain aspects. So I'm going to ask this question. What do you feel is the genre for this book, or do you feel that this book overlaps several genres?
Yes, I would probably think it would overlap different ones. Go ahead, Jay. You can go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Mario is such
now
a gentleman.
I was just going to say that I feel that it overlaps different genres because it has different elements within the book. What are you talking about? Relationships. It has some dabbles of religion and just all across different subject matters. So to put it in one capsule, that would be tough. So I will let Jay kind of finish that up.
Okay. We know we've been listing it as contemporary fiction, but like Mario said, there is so much in the book. I mean, you'll find some romance, you'll find some drama, some murder mystery. So you almost have to keep it general because there are so many things going on in the book. But what you definitely get is an entertaining read with two perspectives. And the great thing about this book is it was so much fun to write. I mean, I wrote a chapter and then Mario wrote a chapter. We did not discuss the chapters before we wrote them. So, I mean, when I get his chapter, I couldn't wait to read it to see what he did next or what he had Marcus do next. And a lot of times what Natalie or Marcus would say in the next chapter was a response to what happened in the previous chapter. So it's okay how a male would respond to this situation, how a female would respond to this situation. So it's really a great book for either gender to read.
Yeah, and I think that's a great caveat for this book and for this project, because it is multifaceted. The book is multi-layered, and also you get a glimpse of both worlds. And often you don't see that, because if you do see a glimpse of both worlds, it's from one gender perspective. And as I said earlier, this is what makes this project extremely unique. So if people would like to contact you for and you know, these two individuals are entrepreneurs, ladies and gentlemen. They do more. You see this hashtag all the time, I'm more than books, or I do more than write books. These two really, really live that hashtag. So if you would like to contact them for speaking engagements, Jada's voiceovers, anything from speaking, motivational, these two are the people to connect with. So that being said, I'll let Mario, I'll let you have your say first, since you've been such a gentleman. How can my listeners contact you and connect with you on social media?
Yeah, so social media, so it's very simple. I'm isolated now to Instagram, so you can reach me at Mario D. King at Instagram. So that's the sole place, or you could visit my website, MarioDKing.com, but I'm more so active on Instagram right now.
All right, we can hear you. All right, Jay all over the place, honey. So, Jay, tell my listeners how they can connect with you.
Well, you can definitely find me at my website, jayhendersonauthor.com, and Jay is spelled J-A-E. And then if you look on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, and you put in Jay Henderson Author, I should pop up there as well. And you can get
all
either
right.
of our books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely important. You can get them on what? Amazon and Barnes and Noble. There are some people who do still patronize Barnes and Noble. So we want to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this comment on Facebook perhaps a couple of weeks ago. I think it was during the Christmas season. And people were saying, does anybody ever go to Barnes and Noble or do any digital stuff? And there were a couple hands that popped up. So it's very important that, you know, we cover all the bases. I'd like to thank you, too, for coming on Read You Later. At any time we can support you and my listeners can support you, please do so. And what's the title of this joint project?
Where Do We Go From Here? It's a three-book series. Where Do We Go From Here? Where Do We Go From Here To? And the last book is From Here to There.
So I want to know, because, you know, some of my listeners – they do not purchase a series until that third book pops. I am not one of those people. I can read first, second, third, in between. But I know Cassandra, a couple of my book club members, Tracy and Hannah, we all have this discussion. It's not a discussion, to be honest with you. It's a brutal debate. And they're all often, how can you do it? I was like, honey, I just read. And so they have to have that last series. So for all of you who need that last book, before you cop the rest of the books, they've already done the work for you. So now you can just click. Once again, I'd like to thank both of you for coming on Read You Later, and have a wonderful evening.
All right, you do the
thank
same.
Thank you.
Blessings
same
to you.
All
right, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Next on tap, we have the maestro. Honey, if you have ever been to Funnybone, this man will have you in stitches. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I told him this, there has been a couple of times that I've actually enjoyed his act better than, like, some of the feature comedians. But I would like to welcome to Read You Later, Remo. Remo, welcome to Read You Later.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, what's up, what's up? Now, Remo, you have so many sides. You know, if you watch Deadly Sexy, he is so serious and even a little sinister with his character when he acts with Marcus. And then you flip, and when I see you at Funnybone and you're doing your thing on stage, You are hilarious. So what does it take
for you
to go from A to B to Z?
Well, Deadly Sexy, first of all, that character was an aggressive character. He was violent. He was choking people. I mean, I came in choking people.
Yeah. With the big old chains on, honey. With the big old chains. And, you know,
right.
And I see you, you flip the script, and, you know, and I see you on YouTube, and I see you in your funny skits, you know, on Facebook. I'm like, how does it go from A to Z? So do you prep for that? Is it like a Jekyll or Hyde, or do you just turn on and off?
I guess this is kind of a thing where you just go to a space mentally. So I know for Deadly Sexy, especially the more times that we did it and got more comfortable doing it, I just try to picture where I need to be. And at that point, he was just, you know, I felt like Marquise was just in denial about being wrong, you know. So
he was just wrong, arrogant, and mean. But you know what? He was lovable. And I don't know if he was lovable in the book because I read the book so many times, but I think you brought the you brought the essence to him, even though you like, oh, he's such a thug. Hey, but you did such a great job in it. You was like, well, you know what? Maybe Bobby did influence him a little bit, you know, kind of like your grandma. But baby, he got to have some good in him somewhere. So you made
exactly,
that happen
right?
for me. You made that happen, you know, in your acting. So do you see yourself doing more of that in the future? And I watch your blog, and they're hilarious. Your blogs for your kids and things of that nature. I love the one where you were saying how, I think, I don't know the title of it, to be honest with you, but it was the one where you were interacting with your children and you were playing the games and you were acting out. That was hilarious. That was hilarious. I mean, it was just, it was so funny. So do you
see what made it real funny is that they didn't even really understand what was going on. So if you see them, that's a real reaction. They're like, what in the world is Dad doing? Are we losing for real?
But you know what? I'm going to be honest. I have seen men interact with their children's games. And why it's so funny is because it's so real. I think they forget the point that, okay, this system was bought for the children or this child, and it becomes a part of who they are. You know, they race home to play. So I think why it was so the comedic timing was excellent. What you did was a great job, but it's so realistic as well.
Wow.
Let's talk about hosting the Funny Bone. And you've come in contact with some of the great comedians in your position, and to be able to hold that down on a weekly basis, to be able to bring the funny, if you will, and to be able to do it prior to the headliners hitting the stage, you do an awesome job of that. You know, there's nothing left on that stage when you leave. And I'll be honest with you, ain't seen them a headliner, I will say, well, they ain't calling names, because you know, hey, you know, everybody have a bad night. However, I will say that there was one night in question that I visited. I'm not going to call any names. And the headliner probably, I'm thinking he had diarrhea prior to going on stage. And so it left him a little empty. But I'm going to say, you as a host, you held it down. You were funny. And I remember we were sitting at the table like, they need to bring Remo back up here. I don't know how much money made this headliner, but Remo needs to come back up here. So, do you feel like the pressure on a weekly basis when you're going in front of, you know, J. Anthony Brown and all these other great comics? Do you feel the pressure, or do you go in and say, okay, I'm Remo, I'm going to do this?
Well, I just personally feel like, hey, I'm Remo. Like, I can only give y'all what I brought. So, between me, you know, the time I'm in the green room getting my hair together to the time I hit the stage, I only got what I brought with me. So you can get that. You can get that. But a lot of it's a lot of responsibility for the host. Definitely to bring the energy out. It's a cold room. It's a bunch of, you know, it could be, I know in the front of one seat's like 300 people. So you got 300 people who probably don't even know each other. And what you got to do quickly is get these people to feel like that they're comfortable enough to laugh around all these different strangers, their problems from the day, everything that has mounted up. Like, you have to come and be original, be someone likable, you know, be someone that they don't feel the tension of the day. So I guess this is my energy. I just go up there and just have fun. If I look like I'm having fun, a lot of times people join in and have fun with me. Or it's always one or two people. Right. So it's always one or two people who may not, you know, they want to go against the grain. But at the end of the day, if the majority is having fun, then the night goes well. So I don't know. I can't remember the headline he's talking about, but.
I won't call his name, but I'll let you know off the air. But yeah, he was horrible. Okay. People were heckling, you know, like, and some of the people behind me, this man behind me, he was hilarious. He was hilarious. And, you know, I think the people started shouting, people like, bring Remo back, bring Remo back. And yeah, I guess he was like, look, I'm going to stay on this stage, bro, because I'm going to get this money. And I remember afterwards, I asked you a question. I said, I'm surprised they didn't get him off stage. And I think, you know, per contract, he had to fulfill that obligation. But, I thought about it the last time I saw you. I was like, wow, you know, you had a heavy headliner, someone who had been on, the movie she was in on Netflix with Eddie Murphy had just dropped. And I know she was saying that she was going to Saturday Night Live and all that kind of stuff like that. And I was the pressure. And she was great. She was great, and it was a packed house because everybody came to see her. And I was like, wow, I was thinking about the pressure you must be under. But I like the way that you handle it. Like you said, you are who you are, and you bring your own brand of comedy to the table. And your timing is impeccable, and you can read the crowd. So how important is it for any artist, but especially a comedian, to be able to read the crowd?
It's really important. You got to connect. Like, so that you started talking about Lunel, and I met her in L.A., and she came to Virginia, and me and her been kind of working together. We've done plenty of shows together, but whenever I have an opportunity out of state to work with her, I do. But I mean, it's really important as a host or any artist, you got to connect with the people who are going to put money in your pocket at the end of the day. That's you trying to make those people laugh who are going to support. You know, a lot of times we get in there and start looking at what everybody else doing. No, you need to focus on what you're doing because those people are getting paid probably from the same people that's walking by you if you don't have your stuff together.
You know what? That is such a lesson you just said because, you know, often I don't care what field you're in or what genre, what have you, and you hear a lot of people say, well, I'm shy. I don't do this well. I don't do this well. And, you know, in this day of social media, that has changed the landscape, especially for people. Say for perhaps like 12 years ago, you could be behind your computer. You could be behind your computer. You could be writing on your – you could look, like you had a computer 15 years ago. You may have just been writing your notebook, and you could be that person who was like this mystical creature. But now people want to connect. Now, I don't agree with everybody knowing everybody's business and people bullying people. I don't agree with that at all. However, you have to have some form of connection if you're going to be in any form of entertainment because people want to know facets of who you are. And it's very important to be able to read the room because if you read the room incorrectly, just like your boy did that night on stage, it don't work out so well for you.
Yeah, it can feel a little lonely up there.
It may be a little lonely. It may be lonely at the top or in the middle.
Yeah, or at the bottom. You never know where you're at.
Exactly. So, for people who perhaps may not be familiar with you, and I do believe one day you're going to be a household name, and I'm not only saying it because you're on air, but you have such a nice, humble personality. Even though you work with a variety of celebrities, if you hit so many stages, you remain humble, you remain friendly, and you remain approachable. And I think that those are characteristics that will propel you to any level you want to see next. So how can people connect with you?
Oh, man, Facebook, you can find me at Remo Mills Comedy, and that's my Facebook page. Instagram, Remo, R-E-M-O underscore M-I-L-L-Z. It's Remo underscore Mills. And on Instagram, on Snapchat, Twitter. Somebody talked me into getting a TikTok. I don't know how that's working. Everything.
Somebody trying to tell me, I'm like, I can't do all that.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm doing, man. I'm just looking just as stupid as I want to look, just
look,
embarrassing
TikTok,
my kids
you,
on there.
TikTok. Oh, man.
Huh?
Then you know what? Yeah, you with my daughter said, Mom, don't do that. Mom, don't do that. You know, anything.
Yeah, right.
Do,
oh, yeah. Oh,
don't,
my
don't,
dad.
Don't do that.
My kids are like, Daddy, stop. Please, I got to go to school.
All right, but
wanna,
it's been a pleasure to have you on. And Remo, when will you be performing next? Or where will you be performing next?
This weekend, I actually have my room. I do open mic every first and third Sunday at Brewers Cafe in south side of Richmond. And that will be there. The show starts at 7 p.m. if you want to come check me out. I'll be at Nutty Buttery on Friday, this coming Friday. Yeah, and I'm going to be back with Lunell in Virginia Beach at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone. That's going to be, hold on, I know the date. I think I know the date, 7th and the 8th.
Say the date, honey. Okay, and let me tell you, she was hilarious. She was hilarious, and you were hilarious. I truly, that was our book club retreat. We did like Airbnb. We had an author come in, and we just had a weekend of fellowship and adult beverages and all other kind of stuff. But you all were one of the highlights. So we had a great weekend. I want to thank you and Linnell for actually just making us just have fun and laugh. Because, you know, when you go through so much and you encounter so much, you have so much responsibility, a good laugh. And laughing is actually good for the soul. It's good for your liver scientifically. So I'm going to tell you, you made my liver happy. That's all I'm going to tell you. You made my liver happy.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, boo. All right, and thank you for coming on Read You Later, and have a wonderful evening.
All right, you do the same. Bye, guys.
Bye. Next on tap, we have actress, moderator, director, writer. Oh, honey, she does it all. My sorrow, Angela Ray. Welcome back to Read You Later.
Thank you so much for having me tonight, the day after Founders Day.
Oh,
I have a little bit more white bass in my voice.
Look, happy day to Founders Day. Yeah, I saw her pics. I told her I saw her turning up yesterday. I was like, that's all right, you know. but let me tell you, you have done so much. You have done so much. And your resume, your portfolio is so diverse. Do you feel that you being able to be a chameleon and being able to do the big screen, the smaller screen, and stage and behind the scenes, do you feel that that has what kept your career relevant for such a great length of time?
Oh, absolutely, because there is not always a role for me in television, but there may be one in a movie. There may not be a role for me in a movie, but then I can get back and go on stage. And you know, you mentioned director. I remember early in my career hearing Malcolm Jamal Warner talk about directing, and I didn't understand why an actor would want to direct. But, you know, he talked about having multiple opportunities in the industry, and that resonated with me early. So it's one of the reasons why I've started to step more behind the scenes, both behind the camera as well as directing in theater as well.
Wow. And you know what? To piggyback on that, I remember I think it was a snow day, and a show that comes on, I think, that no longer comes on, when it came on the Spire. And Issa Rae, that was like first time I actually saw her, and on like any type of screen per se after other than the web series. And they were interviewing a young man, and he said that it's behind the screens where you get the power, because content. And I remember him saying that content is king and queen. So what you're doing, you're actually confirming what he said. He said because a lot of times you don't have the opportunities in front of the screen, so you have to create those opportunities, and therefore you can bring other people who perhaps may not have opportunities on the big screen and behind the screen. So how important is it for you to give back? Because I know, as a sister, as a Sora, I know that you're all about scholarship and service. And I see that you give back in a variety of ways. How important do you feel, or what avenues do you feel you're directing and going behind the big screen will be able to give back to other people who aspire to be entertainers?
Oh, it's an integral part of that. You know, it has done my heart good to be able to pick up the phone, call actors and actresses that I know, even some that have taken my classes.
Oh.
I have not been actively teaching lately as much as I would like to, just haven't had the time. But to be able to send an email out, particularly to the parents of students who have taken my classes and say, hey, I'm casting this or I'm directing this, it just does my heart joy to know that now I have an opportunity to extend back to them for all of their hard work.
Awesome. And that's what it's about. You know, my grandmother always told me that I can't be blessed with both my hands closed. And that has stayed with me all these years. And it's something that I try to preach to others, especially my own children and my younger family members, is that it's a blessing to be blessed, but it's a blessing to bless others. And speaking of being blessed, you know, you've had so many opportunities. You know, as I said earlier, on the big screen, in television, and in books. And you were talking about your classes. Do you feel that perhaps this year, I know your schedule is so hectic, do you feel that you'll be able to bring back and implement your acting classes this year? And if so, how can people connect with you? Because I know, because
yes,
I already got
you know,
an inbox.
I've
asked a question. Because people are already inboxing me.
Okay, yes. I'm actually looking at a Saturday right now when I can do what I call an all-day intensive, where it's a five-hour workshop where students come in prepared with scripts that I give them in advance of coming to class, and we work that way. We work throughout a 5 or 6 hour day. So that is actually coming very, very soon. And if anyone is interested in that, they can send me an email to angela@mahoganydime.com. That's mahogany, like my skin tone, dime, like 10 cents, .com.
I hear you. Now, I remember we talked about your book a couple of years ago. What principles, and then you're talking about leadership, and it's not just about acting, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the book talks a lot about leadership and leading with service, but also how to instill leadership qualities in others. So let's revisit your book, because this is the time of year a lot of people are looking for sources of motivation and inspiration. So I do believe that your book can be that source for many people. So can you refresh my listeners' mind and tell us the title of your book?
Absolutely. It is called Megastar Student Leadership, Lessons I Learned as an Actress That Can Help You Lead, Achieve, and Succeed. And as you mentioned, it's not really, it's some about my acting career, because what I've done with the first part of this book, it's in two parts. The first part of this book, I have shared a lesson that I learned in the world of entertainment, but then I adapt that lesson for student leaders and show them how that applies to their lives as students and how they can use that to better their leadership skills. But in the second half of the book, I've interviewed successful college graduates from a variety of fields, just in case people think, you know, well, I don't know, that was how she learned as an actress, that doesn't relate to me. Well, I've interviewed a dentist, and I've interviewed an author, and I've interviewed a rocket scientist and some other great professionals, so that hopefully one of those journeys, one of those paths will resonate with every student that picks up this book.
Oh, wow. And, you know, it's so important that, you know, because a lot of people are looking for guidance, not just a certain demographic or a certain youth, because, you know, in all parts of our life, we have to reevaluate and we have to do some reflection. And a lot of times we have to do adjustments. So it's good when you can have a source that's readily available that could perhaps assist you in your journey. So, excuse me, girl, let's talk. So what are we doing next? What projects on which screen or which stage did you have in your corner that we can support, purchase tickets, share, all that good stuff? Let's talk shop.
So, okay, so there are a couple of things that because of NDAs, I can't talk about yet. So definitely keep up with me on social media. My social media followers will be the first to know. And that is a pretty serious thing. That unfortunately, with social media, so many people tend to leak things that we're not supposed to leak. So they keep a really tight rein on that.
I mean, yeah,
so
I understand
much so
that. Look,
I was
girl,
in a project
look, let me
a few
you, I'm
years
not
ago.
Anybody's money.
Yeah.
Well, anybody's money.
Yeah, it's interesting that I was thinking my little social media, my little Instagram account, one of the official Instagram accounts for the project started following me. I was like, ooh, how did they find me? But okay. But right now, two of the things that I have airing are on streaming platforms, one of which is an episode of the show Insatiable. It's on Netflix. So Season 2 is currently streaming on Netflix of Insatiable, so I am on that show. And then BET just launched a new platform called BET Plus. They launched that in the fall. And so I am on an episode of Bigger produced by Will Packer. And so those two things people can catch up on if they're binge-watching. I know that that is something people like to do these days when you have access to an entire season. It's a rainy day. It's a lazy Saturday, a cozy Sunday afternoon. You can catch up on those two series and check me out there.
All right. And so if people, you mentioned social media. So how can people connect with you on social media?
I am on Instagram, Facebook, as well as Twitter at The Angela Ray, and that's T-H-E, and Ray is R-A-Y. I emphasize those because I know that some people spell Ray with an E, some people spell it R-A-Y-E, so just wanted to make sure the listeners get the correct spelling. And apparently my name is pretty common. I did not know that until social media came out, and there are like 55, 60 other ones, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, that's one thing. You know, growing up, the name was Cheryl. You're like, oh, because people misspelled it. They couldn't pronounce it and all other sorts of things. But now, when you Google LaShira, you know, there are not a lot of LaShiras. And, you know, I guess I told my mama that she was in the forefront. She knew that social media was going to happen. And, you know, I needed to have something unique to be able to stand out. But I appreciate your time. I know you're extremely busy. I know that you had a play last night. But you know, can I tell us even
yes.
now, like it's an look, I'm gonna cough this up. You know, I didn't get an invitation, but can you tell us about the play from last night?
Look,
okay,
let me tell you about the play and the invitations that did not go out. It's so funny. I was very fortunate yesterday to begin our Founders Day with. I was having lunch with one of our national co-chairs of our National Arts and Letters Commission.
You know,
and
some
she
people
mentioned
just
hearing thing, about,
ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm just saying, we just happened to be having lunch. We had been trying to get up for a while.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, let's do it on Founders Day. And
okay.
We're having lunch, and she was like, yeah, I'm going to go to the Delta Imprint tonight. I said, it's sold out. She's like, what? I was like, yes, it's sold out. Like, it's been sold out for a little while. So I had to call in a few favors and send the SOS
okay.
out. Right,
okay.
But I was able to get her in there, and she absolutely loved it, and
okay.
we were so honored to have her in attendance.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sold out. You know, my chapter is relatively large. I didn't know how large we were as of late until my president gave closing remarks last night, and she said, on behalf of the over 800 members, and I was like, whoa, no wonder
yes,
it sold out.
Because
there were people from some of the other area chapters in attendance. We also had our regional director in attendance, so that just made it really special. But the show that you were talking about, I want to make sure the listeners know, it was called The Delta Imprint, and it basically gave homage to many of our well-known and very accomplished members of our sorority, going back to our early days to our first national president, all the way up into the present time, even recognizing some of our most recent honorary members who were inducted at our national convention in New Orleans on last year. And so I was very fortunate. Talk about an honor. I was very fortunate to play Sora Angela Bassett. And one of the things that made that so special for me, this was just sheer happenstance, but I made my professional debut as an actress at the National Black Theater Festival in Winston-Salem, which happens every other year. It just took place in 2019. So this is a plug for the festival. If you were not there in 2019, you have to wait until August of 2021. But if I were you, I would go ahead and put it on my calendar because it is an event that you don't want to miss. That being said, that's why I made...
Isn't it experience? It's almost an experience. And, you know, and until you go, you can see it on social media. But it's an experience, and there are so many different things that occur that it will just make you, well, I'm already dizzy, but, you know, make you dizzy. So it's an experience. So as she said, place it on your calendar. It's an event. It's an event that you don't want to miss.
Don't want to miss. I mean, everything from there are author signings there. You know, I know some of the guests earlier tonight, the two authors, the comedian. I mean, there's an open mic. They have the Midnight Poetry Jam. It is a theater festival, so yes, there are plays. There are plays in the afternoon, in the morning. There are readings of new plays that are in development, and there are parties and workshops, and it's just a phenomenal event that I never get any sleep at when I'm there. But that's where I got my start as an actress, and so when I did that play some years ago, Angela Bassett was in the audience. She was not there to see me, to be clear. I am not, so I don't want anyone to say, oh, Angela Rayson, Angela Bassett. No, I did not. That's not what I said. She was not there to see me. She knew the director. She knew the director of my play, but she was in the audience, and it's so funny. I didn't even recognize her at first. This particular production, a few of the actors, we actually started off in the audience. So we're literally sitting in the audience as if we are there to see the play. And so one of my cast members, like, you know, he kind of elbowed me, and I was like, what? He was like, look in the starter hat. And this tells you how long ago that was. I don't even know people wear starter hats that much. She had on a baseball cap. And I was like, what about her? He was like, that's Angela Bassett. I was like, no, it's not. And I looked again. I was like, oh, my gosh. Yes, it is. And so to be able to come full circle and have her as an honorary member of our sorority made back in 2013, and then to be able to portray her this year was just like, oh, just warmed my heart.
That was an honor. That truly was an honor. And as always, it's an honor to talk to you, an honor to support you. And anything that we can do from my end or read you later to support you, girl, you know you got it. And I would like to thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And I can't wait to see you in August.
Yes, LCA. I'm so excited. I say that now, but by the time August gets here, I mean, the adrenaline just goes up and down because I'm so busy trying to make sure everything is perfect. But I appreciate you coming on. And anything we can do when you can disclose at the NDAs, when you can tag me, and I'll be sure to share it on my social media platform. And from my bookshelf
Absolutely.
To your bookshelf. And from my big cinema, from my TV to your big cinema, we'd like to thank you all for coming on, you, Mario, Jay, and Remo with his hilarious self. And I'd like to thank my listeners for chiming in. I appreciate you chiming in. I know there are a lot of things to do, and I know you chime in every week, but now I'm like every 2 weeks. I know a lot of you all want me to do every week, but girl, I got so much going on. I need to figure it in my schedule, people, but I appreciate everyone who sticks with me. And you can find this on, of course, Blog Talk, but I'm also on Spotify, iHeart, and iTunes, and I appreciate all the downloads. I truly appreciate it. And I'd like to thank everybody for chiming in, and I hope you have a wonderful, blessed, and productive week. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much for having me. All right. Good night.
All right, girl. Always. Good night.